glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Sambha. Shrimati Bhakti Ranta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Deva. Gauravani Pachani Nivasesa Samani Paskatadi Satani Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utah Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sita Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Samasaji Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Yada Krishna Pada Sahagana Vitashi Vishakam Vitam Sita. Do we have some water for the translator? Someone make sure that the translator has some water, please. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. June 29th, 2010, in Croatia. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Texts 4 and 5. Chatropanita Balayo Raverdipa Mivadrita Atmaramam Purnakamam Nijalabena Nityada. Prityutpula Mukha Prachur Arshagad Gadayagira Pitaram Sarvasuridam Avitarami Varbhakta.
Avitarami Varbhakta.
Tatropanita Balayo.
Tatropanita Balayo.
Raverdipa Mivadrita.
Raverdipa Mivadrita.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Harsha Gadgadaya Gira.
Harsha Gadgadaya Gira.
Itaram Sarvasuridam.
Itaram Sarvasuridam.
Avitaram Nivarvakaha.
Avitaram Nivarvakaha.
Atropanita Balayo.
Atropanita Balayo.
Raverdipa Mivadrita.
Raverdipa Mivadrita.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Harsha Gatka Daya Gira.
Harsha Gatka Daya Gira.
Pitaram Sarva Sukhritam.
Pitaram Sarva Sukhritam.
Avitaram Nivarbhaka.
Avitaram Nivarbhaka.
Tatropanita Balayo.
Tatropanita Balayo.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Atmaramam Purnakamam.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Nijalabena Nityada.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Prityutpula Mukha Prachur.
Harsha Gadgadaya Gira.
Harsha Gadgadaya Gira.
Avitaram
Ivarbhakaha.
Ladies, Tantra. Thereupon. Upanita. Having offered. Balayaha. Presentations. Ravehe. Up to the sun. Deepam. Lamp. Eva. Like. Avritaha. Being evaluated. Atma Aramam. Unto the self-sufficient. Punakamam. Fully satisfied. Nijalabhena. By his own potencies. Nityada. One who supplies incessantly. Priti. Affection. Utpula Mukaha. Cheerful faces. Prochuhu. Said. Harsha. Gladdened. Gadgadaya. Ecstatic. Gira. Speeches. Pitaram. Unto the Father. Sarva. All. Suridam. Friends. Avitaram. The guardian. Eva. Like. Arbakaha. Words. Words in this case means someone you take care of, like your children or your dependents. So this is from the chapter of Krishna entering into Dwarka and being received by the citizens. So the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The citizens arrived before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who by his own potency incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as words welcome their guardian and father. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord Krishna is described herein as Atmarama. He is self-sufficient, and there is no need for him to seek happiness from anything beyond himself. He is self-sufficient because his very transcendental existence is total bliss. He is eternally existent. He is all-cognizant and all-blissful. Therefore, any presentation, however valuable it may be, is not needed by him. But still, because he is the well-wisher for one and all, he accepts from everyone everything that is offered to him in pure devotional service. It is not that he is in want for such things, because the things are themselves generated from his energy. The comparison is made herein that making offerings to the Lord is something like offering a lamp in the worship of the sun god. Anything fiery and illuminating is but an emanation of the energy of the sun. And yet, to worship the sun god, it is necessary to offer him a lamp. In the worship of the sun, there is some sort of demand made by the worshiper. But in the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord is the Supreme Father of all living beings, and therefore those who are conscious of this vital relation with God can make filial demands from the Father. Filial means like a son. And the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. The Lord is just like the desire tree, and from him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As a Supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord can rise to the position of unalloyed devotional service by his transcendental attraction. Tatro panita balayo raver dipa ivadrita Admaraman Purnakama Nijalabhena Nichida Prityupulam Gaprachur Harshagadgadayakira Pitaram Sarvasurandam Avitaram Ivarbakaha. The citizens arrive before the Lord with their respective presentations, offering them to the fully satisfied and self-sufficient one, who, by his own potency, incessantly supplies others. These presentations were like the offering of a lamp to the sun. Yet the citizens began to speak in ecstatic language to receive the Lord, just as words welcome their guardian and father. So this is a nice description of the relationship that we're all looking for. We're all looking for some relationship of love where there's no bargaining, as Prabhupada says here, where there's just giving on both sides without any expectation of some return, but just giving as an expression of love. It's like the loving exchanges mentioned in Upadeshamrita by Rupa Goswami. They had concerned three categories of giving and taking. So giving and taking what? Right, prasadam, food, gifts, and confidences. So food, gifts, and confidences, giving and taking. So we give food to the Lord and he gives it back to us. We give gifts to the Lord and he gives them back to us. And we reveal our mind to the Lord and he enlightens us. Tesham sapta yukanam bhajatam pittipurvakam vidami buriyogam tam yenamam upayantite. So Krishna reveals his innermost heart to us and we reveal our innermost heart to him. But we're not looking for something. You know, in our material relationships, we're looking for something, which is why our material relationships are so frustrating. We try to have in material relationships things sort of balanced, but with a little bit better on our side. Right? We don't want to give too much or take too much. If you take too much, then you're a debtor and you feel uncomfortable. I noticed that when I was running a school, that the parents to whom I gave the most were the most dissatisfied. That took me a while. Why is that? And I thought, nobody wants to be a debtor. If the score is uneven one way or the other, we become disturbed. But we want to take just a little bit more. Just like in a business, the employees, they're saying, how can I get the most from my business and give the least amount of work? And the employer, he's thinking, how can I get the most amount of work for my employees and give the least amount? Even we see this happens in businesses of devotees. Have you seen this happen in businesses of devotees? I know many devotees who've run a devotee business. And the employers will complain that the devotee employees, they're always saying, oh, my Guru Maharaj is in town, I'm going for 3 days, goodbye. Or now I'm going to Kartik, I'm going to India, 1 month, bye-bye. Right? Or it's a Ekadasi Prabhu, I can't work today. Right? You're a devotee, you should understand. So even the devotee employees, they're trying to take as less as possible. And then the devotee employer, they're often saying, you're devotees, you should be working for as little pay as you can get. This is service, this is a preaching mission. Why should you be asking for more money or health insurance? You should be working 6-7 days a week. Forget about your family, your health, you just work. So we see this tendency. I met some devotees who had left working for a devotee business because they said that when they worked for the devotees, they had no time for their family, no time for their sadhana, they had to work for non-devotees. So even among devotees, we tend to have sometimes this exploitive mentality. How can I take something more than I'm getting? And certainly we see this between friends, or we see this with our governments. The governments are trying to get as much tax money from the citizens as they can. They do it indirectly through inflation. And there's, you know, I don't know in this country, but in America, they're taxing everything, you know, income tax, sales tax, petrol tax, everything. So that really you're giving, Vedically, you're supposed to give only 25% of your income. And it was usually in goods. If you grew wheat, you gave 25% of your wheat. But nowadays it's far more. People are giving at least 50% of the money to the government. People say, how can I give 50% of my money to Krishna? But they're all giving 50% of their money to the government. And the government is trying to give back as little as possible. They're trying to put as much in their own pockets as they possibly can. Right? When they, at least in America, it's like this. So they vote themselves raises in income, and they give the citizens as little as possible. And on the other hand, the citizens are trying to give the government as little as possible. They're doing business in cash that they don't report, or they do business in barter that they don't report, and they're trying somehow or other to cheat the government of their taxes. So everyone is trying to cheat. And even in the family, it's like this. You know, the wife is saying, why should I wash the dishes today? I washed them yesterday. Now it's your turn. And they're keeping score. In fact, there's many books on relationships between husband and wife. One of the most popular books, it has a section, how men keep score and how women keep score. So the man is thinking, okay, this service by the wife, it counts this many points. And this service by the wife, it counts this many points. If you're in material consciousness, it's very useful to read such books. We're not denigrating such things. But the fact is that that is how people are thinking. Yeah? In these books, they explain, like women, everything just counts 1 point. You buy her a new house, 1 point. You buy her a rose, 1 point. So the men don't understand this. They're thinking, if I buy a house, that counts for 1,000 points, and I don't have to buy any roses now for the next 10 years. So therefore, there's all this difficulty between the husbands and wives. And children and parents are also thinking like that. You know, what am I? One young man was telling me, okay, well, I give my elderly father money, and I give my elderly mother service, and I figure my time is worth $40 an hour, so I'm giving my mother so much money in service. I was calculating like that. And I said, so at what point will you have given enough? And he said, well, I'm trying to think how many years did my mother take care of. He was calculating everything like that in money. I said, well, you know, my parents invested so much money in me, and I'm going to give so much back. And so people are calculating like that. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. And as soon as we think, oh, I'm giving much more than I'm taking, then we become disturbed and we stop giving. Isn't it like that? People say, oh, man, I've given enough. What about me? So these relationships are not, these kind of relationships are not ultimately very satisfying. And we find that our relationships in this world, whether it's with our employers, whether it's with our government, whether it's with our husband and wife, our parents and children, brothers and sisters, friends and friends. Background music. Really what we should do is you should have the mobile phones geared so that they have the right kind of music to match the point I'm making in the speech, like they do in the movies, you know, with exactly the right kind of music. So these relationships are not satisfying to our heart. We become so disappointed. We become so frustrated. We become so hurt. Right? We give ourselves in some relationship, and it's not what we expected. It's not what we expected. And this even happens in the Hare Krishna movement, my dear friends. You know, it even happens with our spiritual authorities, our spiritual masters, our temple presidents, our GBC, that we're feeling, this relationship isn't fully satisfying me. It wasn't what I expected. Of course, we don't stop and think that what problem is there in me? We often think the problem is in the other person. You know, well, maybe I didn't have an advanced enough spiritual master, or my GBC is in Maya, or I have the wrong government, or I have the wrong husband, or the wrong wife, or, you know, I got the bad karma to get a bad kid, or I just work for the wrong company. And we don't stop to think that maybe the problem is in me. Savaipam sam parodham orito bhaktir hoksacharya haituki apritita yadatma supersediti. What is that dharma? What is that relationship that's going to give ourselves full satisfaction? That is the relationship described here. The Lord is described as Atmarama. Atmarama. He's fully satisfied in himself. And paper books are definitely easier than these things. So, Purnakamam, all of his desires, Purnakama, Nijamabena, by his own power, he is fulfilling all of his desires completely. He doesn't need anything. Of course, Ishopanishad also describes this. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vasishchate. The literal translation of that is, this is complete, that is complete. From the complete, complete are comings. If you take the complete from the complete, still the complete remains. That's the literal translation. So Krishna is complete. Om Purnam Adat Purnamidam. And guess what else is complete? Everything he's created is complete. Or everything manifested from him is complete. Guess who's manifested from him? Who's manifested from him? Huh? Everybody. That means we're also complete. When you read about the great jnanis even, not even bhaktas, but jnanis on the higher planets, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Maharloka, they're also described as Atmarama and Aptakama. That they're self-satisfied and they can fulfill all their own desires. And they're not even pure devotees. That means that this nature of completeness, it's the nature of us, the soul. It's the nature of Krishna. But my dear friends, the reason that we're having these exploitive relationships is that we have an illusion of incompleteness. I'm thinking, I'm lacking something. I'm lacking something and I need to get it from you. The Anamoya platform is, I'm hungry, and where is their food? I see Brahman as food. And I see other living entities like food. Right? I need something from you. I'm thirsty. And you're going to satisfy my thirst. The pinnacle of this, of course, is sexual desire. That I have some thirst, and that you are going to satisfy my thirst. I see the other as an object of satisfaction for me, a kind of food for me. And I know I may make a bargain, I'll satisfy you if you satisfy me. But all the relationships we have in this world are basically this kind of lust, that I feel empty, I feel incomplete, and I feel that I need something from you to make me complete. So this emptiness, there's this Christian theologian, Thomas Merton, very famous Christian monk. And he wrote an appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. It's a wonderful book of his life, Seven Story Mountain. He talks about his association with one devotee from India who was just named Brahmachari. Anyway, very nice book. And one of the points he made is that all of us have a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. Because the only way that we can realize our completeness is to connect this again with the complete whole. Not really, we're already connected. Mamevamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Sanatana. We're always part and parcel of Krishna. We can't really be disconnected. But we can have an illusion of being disconnected. So when we have this illusion, which is something we wanted, like a rebellious child who says, why should I be home anymore? What are you doing for me? Let me go and make my own way in the world. One of my children told me this when he was 4 years old. I don't like you anymore, Mommy. I'm going away. And so that's what we say to Krishna. Did any of you say that to your parents sometime when you were small? I did. I even wrote a note for my mother. I am running away. Of course, I came back in an hour. But we tell that to Krishna, you know. I'm running away. I'm going to make my own way in the world. And then we have this illusion of being separate. So the finger is complete when it's connected. A finger is a complete system. when it's part of the whole body. Just like there are doctors that study just different systems of the body. But if you separate them from the body, then they can't function properly anymore. So when we're reconnected with Krishna, again we feel complete. And like Krishna, we're also Atmaram and Aptakama. We no longer need anything. The reason we no longer need anything is not because we have no needs. As the Mayavadis and the Buddhists say, we don't make our needs zero, but because our needs are fully fulfilled. These verses do not describe Krishna as having no desires. Do they? They don't say Krishna has no desires. They say Krishna's desires are fully fulfilled by his own energies. So the soul has needs. Like a very famous purport where Prabhupada said, the need of the soul is, anyone know? First canon, second chapter. The need of the soul is? Anyone know? You should know this purport. To do something, yes, but what? Complete freedom, Prabhupada says. The need of the soul is to have complete freedom. Said we want to come out into the light, in the spirit. So the soul has needs, desires. But when we're complete, all of these are automatically fulfilled. The way I think of it, just like they were cleaning Radha Kund a year or so ago, and they pump out all of the water. They get down to the original Kund. And what's there in the original Kund, you know? The spring. It's a spring. So the water is coming, constantly filling. Constantly filling. So even though the water is evaporating by the sun, and so many pilgrims like me were coming and taking the water so we can bathe our deities, that it's still full. So that's Atmarama, Aptakama. That you have this spring in your heart. Krishna, who's always complete and always expanding. Krishna's already there. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayesha Dinatisthati is already there. So why do we feel empty and needy? Because we're not acknowledging that he's there. We're not intentionally connecting with him. He's trying to connect with us, but we're not trying to connect with him. Like you have the outlets on the wall, PowerPoints or whatever you call them here. So the electricity is already in the wall, but you have to plug in the machine to get the electricity. So when you feel full, only then can you have relationships that are not exploitive. It's the only condition. Only when you feel full. Because as soon as you think that you're incomplete and empty, immediately you'll exploit. Because your reason for relationships will be to take. That will be what's motivating you. When you speak to most people before they marry and you say, why do you want to marry this person? You listen, they'll talk about what they're going to take. They rarely talk about what they're going to give. They talk about how the other person is going to be meeting their needs. I've hardly heard any woman say, oh, the reason I'm marrying this man is I'm so inspired to serve him. I've heard them say, well, he's a wonderful devotee. I really think he'll take care of me, and he's very responsible. And that's the mentality. What can I take? And you can't artificially stop that. You can't just pretend, oh, I'm going to pretend that now I'm just going to give. It doesn't work. You'll pretend and pretend and pretend, and then after a while you'll explode. And say, what about me? What am I getting? We see this even between guru and disciple, my dear friends. Oh, Gurudev, 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 I'm going to serve you, 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 I'm going to serve you. After all, what's he doing for me? How is he treating me?
he's not really being very nice to me. He's not writing me enough. Oh, forget about it. Take this picture off the altar. You see this? Over and over and over again. So therefore, I was sitting in front of Prabhupada. My young son was in my lap. And Prabhupada said, just like this mother is loving this child without any expectation of return, in the same way you should love Krishna. He was about his age of that little boy walking. And my father said to Prabhupada, will loving her son help her to love Krishna? Prabhupada said, no. Said, but loving Krishna will help her to love her son. So when we have our relationship with Krishna, when we're full with Krishna, then we can actually love. And I don't need anything from you. I already have everything. Krishna's fulfilling all of my needs. So I don't need to go to you to meet my needs. Then I can just give. And I can give and give and give and give because my heart is full with the unlimited. Like a spring. It's not like I give and then I have nothing left. You take the complete away from the complete, still the complete remains. You take the complete away from the complete, still the complete remains. So if I'm connected with the complete, then like the complete, I can give and I still remain complete. That is relationships on the platform of freedom. Prabhupada said, the need of the soul is for freedom. That's freedom. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he has no need to depend on any other living being. Krishna's maintaining me. Therefore, if you maintain me or you don't maintain me, it doesn't matter to me. Because Krishna's maintaining me. Krishna loves me. Suvanam Sarvabhutanam. He's my surid. If you want to be my surid or not, I already have the best surid. I don't need you to be my surid. If you want to, that's nice. If you don't want to, it doesn't matter. I'm free. Therefore, there's no lust. And if there's no lust, there's no anger. There's no frustration. There's no disappointment. There's no devastation. Yajatma supersedati. One is filled with happiness. And there's no need to have a relationship with Krishna, like of exploitation. I'm not going to Krishna because I'm saying, okay, Krishna, you're going to complete me and fulfill all my needs. I'm going to Krishna just because. He dresses so nicely and he plays his flute so wonderfully and he has such wonderful pastimes. And he killed that bakasura just... And we were talking yesterday how he's dancing on Kaliya. The moving Kaliya had 1,000 hoods. I mean, just like you go to see a dance performance. So what better dance performance than Krishna on Kaliya, you know? 1,000 hoods, slippery snake with fire coming out of the hoods, moving. Just because Krishna is so wonderful. That's all. Not because he's going to give me something. And because it's just natural, like it's saying here, Krishna's the father, he's the guardian, I'm his part. And the child just loves the mother because, why do you love your mother? Just because she's my mother. And the mother loves a child just because it's her child. I was just with my youngest child, they just had their first baby. Little baby. It's a little tiny baby. They don't exactly give you anything except trouble. Newborn babies. When they get a little older, then. But when they're newborn, they don't give you anything but trouble. They just cry and they poop. You know, that's what do they do? Nothing. But still they're giving. Why? Just because. There's no reason. There's not logic to it. Just, it's my child. Part of me. So Krishna, we're part of Krishna. We belong to him. He belongs to us. That's all. There's no other reason. And we just love because he's so lovable. And he loves us in exchange. Why? He doesn't love us because of any great qualities we have or anything we do or anything he needs from us. He just loves us because we're part of him. That's all. No, there's no reason. There's no logic. I mean, even in material love, there's no logic. When a boy and girl fall in love, there's no logic to it. Why do you love this boy instead of that boy? You just do. And in that love, we're just giving. Giving without thinking, okay, this is how I'm keeping score. There's no books like this in Goloka Vrindavan, how Krishna keeps score and how the gopis keep score. They don't have to study these relationship books and think about how they're keeping, because nobody's keeping score. In fact, Krishna says to the gopis, Naparyaham, I can't actually repay you. I'm always in your debt. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that because the gopis, they've left their family. They've left their mothers and fathers or their mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law, husbands, brothers. But Krishna hasn't left his family. Krishna hasn't given up his relationship with his family for the gopis. And he says, I'm in your debt. So just giving. And this is what we're looking for. This is what we're looking for. This is what everybody is looking for. And all of the pain that we have in this world is because we're not trying to find this in the right way. It's our responsibility. Our pain is not really coming from all the other. It's coming from my lack of connection with Krishna only. That's the only reason for any pain, suffering, sadness, disappointment, anger, frustration, is that I'm not connected with Krishna. Then Prabhupada also says in this purport that sometimes there may be some giving and taking of things. Sometimes the devotees may ask Krishna for something. Sometimes Krishna may ask the devotees for something. But it's not bargaining. It's just on the platform of freedom. So they're still doing the loving exchanges. Krishna's giving gifts to the devotees. The devotees are giving gifts to Krishna. But just as an expression of love. Just like we offer flowers to the deities, we're offering these flowers to Prabhupada. Krishna says, Patram pushpam palantayam yome bhakti prayatati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmana. So why does Krishna ask for things like flowers? This photograph, you see all these beautiful flowers. I remember when my father was first visiting the temple, he was just always amazed at all the flowers on the altar. He'd say, and they're all real. You know, out in the world, most people don't see so many flowers as we see in the Hare Krishna movement, except maybe in Hawaii. And people don't generally walk in the world. How many people in Croatia walk around wearing necklaces made of flowers? Right? We do it all the time. We don't even think about it. So why flowers? I mean, even in worldly relationships, when people want to express love, they often use flowers. Why don't you use, you know, automobile parts? So we're giving flowers to do two things. To express love and to nourish love. To grow love and to express love. And certain things are more suitable for that than others. Although if somebody needed automobile parts, then doing that would also be an expression. Thank you. So the gifts the devotees are offering to the Lord are a way of expressing their love. It's not the gifts themselves that are valuable. If somebody is already complete, what gift can you give them? And as Prabhupada's pointing out in this verse, the gifts you're giving Krishna are already his. They're already his energy. Exactly like when I was a little girl, my parents used to give me some money every week, a little bit of money I could spend on candy or something. And when it was my parents' birthday, I would buy them a present with my money. But it was their money. But they were so happy. I know my daughter-in-law's father told me how he really understood this when one of his children, when he was about 6 years old, came to his father and said, Daddy, here's a stick. what his value is in a stick, but there was that love. So everything that's given and taken between Krishna and the devotees is just an expression of love. And we can do this starting now, even as beginning devotees. You might say, well, I'm just a beginning devotee. I'm not on this platform. But yesterday at his seminar, Veer Krishna Maharaj was making the point that we should be very honest with Krishna. We should not pretend with Krishna that I don't have any demands. If we want liberation, if we want something in this world, we should be honest about that. So how do we do that? First of all, we should offer our gifts to Krishna, trying to do that as an expression of love, not bargaining, not thinking, okay, I've chanted so many rounds, I've offered so many sticks of incense, I put up with so much in the Hare Krishna movement, you ought to give me pure devotional service. You know, a listing of all, I've given this, like the scorekeeping. All right, where's my bhakti? It's easy to think like this. We're dealing with Krishna in a lusty, exploitive mentality. So rather, just give to Krishna. Just give to Krishna because he's wonderful. And if you don't think he's wonderful, read about him and hear about him until you become convinced that he's wonderful and you just desire to do something for him. That's all. And then if we have some desire in our heart, we should be honest. Krishna already knows the desire in our heart. He already knows. He's not fooled by duplicity. If you go in front of Krishna and say, Krishna, I only want to love you, I only want to serve you, I don't want anything in this world, and in your heart you're going, when am I going to find a nice wife? He knows what you're thinking. You know? And he's not very impressed by falsity. After all, he's Param Sattva. Sattva. He's the supreme absolute truth. Truth. We're all looking for truth, right? That's why we're in the Hare Krishna movement. We want truth. So Prabhupada said, to enter into fire, you have to be fire. If you want to associate with the absolute truth, guess what? You've got to be truthful. I mean, even the mode of goodness, sattva gun. Sattva means goodness. It also means eternity. Sat, and it also means truth. Sattva means truth. You have to be truthful. You don't have to be absolutely truthful with every living entity in the world. That won't be very congenial. It's not that you have to tell everybody in the world exactly what's in your heart. That's not a very good policy. But at least be truthful with Krishna, because he just happens to already know. And therefore, if you're not truthful, how can you have an authentic relationship? We're looking for authentic relationships, real relationships. So if we want an authentic relationship with Krishna, we just start with truthfulness. And if we have some desire, we go to Krishna. But we can start practicing going to Krishna in this mood exemplified by the residents of Dwarka. Not demanding. As Prabhupada says, you're like the child to the parent. Hey Krishna, I know I really shouldn't ask you for anything, but I'd really like some money. Or I'd really like to find a nice wife, or I really need a new car. I mean, if we're intelligent, we should know that Krishna already knows what we need and we don't have to ask. But better to ask Krishna whether you have sarva kama or whether moksha kama or akama, you go to Krishna. But you go to Krishna not like you go to a shop. You go to a shop and you say, excuse me, do you have, you know, whatever, oranges? And they say no, and you say, okay, bye. Or if they have the oranges, you buy the oranges and then you say bye. You only go to the shop to get your oranges. So we shouldn't go to Krishna like that. Don't go to Krishna. Krishna, I need a car. Give me a car, okay, bye-bye. I'll talk to you next time I need something. Or you don't give me a car, okay, bye. No use for you. You don't give me any cars. I'll go someplace else. So don't deal with Krishna like he's an order supplier. We deal with Krishna more like he's our loving father. So if we have some material desire in our heart or desire for liberation, go to Krishna. Krishna, I'm really sorry to bother you for this. But I'd rather bother you than try to get things separately from you. And I'd really like a new car. But I leave it to you, because as Prabhupada says here in this purport, that Krishna won't give something that will disturb the relationship. Because he knows the only way we're really going to be satisfied is to be connected with him in loving service. So he's not going to do something that will disturb that ultimate yajyatma supersedity, the ultimate satisfaction of the self. And we trust him. We trust him. You may not be able to trust an ordinary jiva, or even an extraordinary jiva, but you can certainly trust Krishna. And we take to him our desires and we say, Lord, you do with this as you like. You fulfill it as you like, or not fulfill it as you like. You fulfill it in any way you like. And whatever you want to do, I'll be satisfied with that. And I'll trust you. And Krishna likes to give gifts to his devotees. And we like, don't you like giving gifts to people? Isn't that a pleasure? So Krishna also feels pleasure giving gifts to his devotees. But the ultimate pleasure is when those gifts are given on the platform of real freedom. So if we really want to find the satisfaction of all of our heart's desires, then we should make our top priority in life connecting with Krishna. That should be our top priority in life on our to-do list for today and this week and this, and our goal setting. How am I connecting with Krishna? 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 And if we still have material desires, to go to him submissively, like the child with the parent, or like the traditional wife with the husband. You don't see that much anymore. But... or like the employee in a very good business, where the employer takes care of the employees. That's how you go with our requests. So thank you very much. We could take maybe 5 minutes if there's any questions. Yes?
This is very nice declaration about this love for children when they are not able to give. But they give with their energy. I see when I walk in kindergarten, they are 1 year old children. They are just like, they need just care. But they smile with this, I don't know, they are so grateful. And with this gratefulness and with this smile, I see that Krishna gives with this form children with a lot of love.
That is very true. But when they're only 1 month old, they're not giving anything.
Yes.
Maybe 2 months, but not 1 month. Not 1 week, not giving anything. Only trouble.
Yes.
1 week, 2 weeks, only trouble. Maybe 6 weeks, they're giving gratefulness, but not 1 week. Yes.
But I've heard mothers say they go through the most difficult labor, it's so painful, but they've been so much happiness and pleasure from that kid, even 1 week or 2 weeks old, they're so
But the happiness they're getting is from giving. Ultimately, our happiness is from giving, not from taking.
No. Happiness from the
child. The happiness they're receiving from the child is their giving. Therefore, Prabhupada said that's the closest thing we can understand to pure love. Just giving. And giving for no particular reason, just because the child is part of you, that's all.
Can I raise another point?
Sure.
That when the husband gives the flowers to the wife, she's receiving it. She's overjoyed. So by receiving, she is.
You can also enjoy by receiving if that receiving is part of it, that exchange of free love. If it's really freedom. You know, of course, in this world when people talk about free love, they talk about super exploitive love. When they talk about free love, they mean that it's become a real business. But the freedom between the Lord and the devotee, yes, when the devotee gets something from the Lord, they're also very happy. Who is it? It's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In one of his books, he's talking about meditating on being a gopi serving Radharani, and Radharani says, oh, here's my necklace. Oh, I'm so happy. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says that we should live our lives like that. In Brahma Samhita commentary to text 561, he said we should see everything we get as the gifts of the Lord. But you're not, if you're happy with the gift, that's very different than if you're happy with the exchange of love. You know, if you're thinking, oh, wow, you know, you just got me exactly this, wow, this is exactly what I wanted, and I'm just, wow, I got what I wanted, wow. But if I'm thinking, oh, how much you love me, that you've given me something that I really wanted, that's very different. One's relishing the relationship. So the materialistic religious person, they're interested in God for what he can give them. They're not really interested in God. They're interested in what he can give them. Okay, I'm interested in God because I figured out that nobody in this world is going to be able to give me like God can give me. So let me go to God. That's better than nothing. But gradually one becomes interested not in the gifts, but in the giver. And the gifts are simply, as I said, you know, what are flowers? I mean, nobody needs flowers. Why are we happy to get flowers and give flowers? Because they, particularly things like flowers, they symbolize love. It's the exchange of love that we're relishing. So if you see everything in your life as Krishna's prasadam, I compiled a whole bunch of quotes from Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta about that, then you're always happy. Then you live happily even in this world. Prabhupada says the materialists see the world as very aggressive, but the devotees see everything as happily situated. Is that all right? He says?
Everything you say is all right.
Everything is only true of God. Yes? Oh, I don't know. I don't have a degree in psychology. My degree is in education. I don't know.
They rather see the gesture, the gesture of giving.
I don't know.
That is called like one.
I have no idea. I know that I do that, but I don't know why I do it. Yes?
There is the famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmarama, it's called.
Yes.
And when there's this, the example is given like Shukadeva Goswami or four Kumaras, there were some kind of Brahmavadis. So for me, does it mean that they were not connection, they had no connection with Krishna, but still they were Atmaramas? So how
Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Subjati.
Yeah, so
Brahman is also Krishna.
Yeah, but this is different, not full aspect. Of
Krishna. No, not full.
So how can, my question is, how one can be Atmarama but have no connection with Krishna?
But that's not no connection with Krishna.
Partial.
Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Satyati.
Yeah,
so you can't say there's no connection with this Krishna.
But this is not complete.
Therefore, they went further. Therefore, they went further. They said, oh, complete, more complete, most complete. You can understand that materially? Complete. How can there be more complete than complete? It doesn't make any sense. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. The English word complete and perfect, those are already absolute words. You can't add more and most to them. There are certain words, unique, perfect, complete. You can't be the most unique. If you're unique, you're unique. You can't be the most perfect. If you're perfect, you're perfect.
Amongst unique people, can you be the most unique?
No, you cannot. You're starting to get beyond the range of just material language and logic. But Brahman is also, and when Krishna takes Arjuna to see Mahavishnu, which we'll talk about today at 4 o'clock, he says that this effulgence is my own bodily rays. Indeed, this is myself. So Oh, it is Krishna. It's just Krishna is not manifesting his fullness. So they also feel complete. They feel that all their desires are satisfied. Krishna explains this in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Upon gaining this one thing, there is no greater gain. But he's not talking here about pure devotional service in the sixth chapter. So they think there's no greater gain, and then they meet Krishna. They go, oh, there is something greater. Therefore, those who come to Krishna from that platform, they're the four types of people who come to Krishna. One is the person who looks for happiness. Who's the example of that? The Rupa Goswami gives. Who went to Krishna for material wealth and happiness? Dhruva Maharaj. You can go to Krishna because you want to be free from distress. Who's the example of that? Rupa Goswami gives? Gajendra. You can go to Krishna because you're curious. Like the sages at Namacharanya. Or you can go to Krishna because you already have knowledge. You're already Brahman realized. And then you see, oh, there's a higher aspect to God than just Brahman. Generally, if we say, I came to Krishna consciousness because I wanted knowledge, it's really we're the inquisitive category. Because Krishna says those who come to him for knowledge, like Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras, he said those persons are almost like myself. Yeah, it's very, very rare. So someone who's already attained Brahman, who's already attained the satisfaction of Brahman, and then he says, oh, Krishna's better even. There's a more complete. It's more complete. Now, we don't advise that one progress in Krishna consciousness in that way. Klesha dika thrastesham avyakta sakatejasam avyakta higatir dukam deha vadbira vapite. We don't advise that first you realize Brahman and then you realize Krishna. That's not our advice. Although Prabhupada says in the last purport of that chapter that if you haven't yet met a pure devotee, that Brahman realization may be helpful. But that's not the path that we advise. Because if to do that, first you have to try to stop all your desires and stop all your feelings. And then if you succeed in doing that, which you probably won't, then you have to try to develop spiritual feelings. Whereas what we try to do, Prabhupada says, gradually and proportionately, as you increase the spiritual feelings, the material feelings decrease. So that's our process. We start off with our material desires, our material emotions. We go to Krishna with those. And as we go to Krishna with those, we see how nice Krishna is, and gradually we start developing spiritual desires and spiritual emotions, and gradually and proportionally, as the spiritual goes up, the material automatically goes down. At least they are about equal. Is that all right?
This yes? Verse, Abhiramas Chamunayo, and also the concept of completeness, seems that they're both a function of maturation of the individual. Could you comment on that?
That's very nice. What further comment is needed? Yes. Anybody else? Thank you very much. All glories to Shiva.